Hello and welcome to How to Feel Good, the podcast where we talk about everything related to health and osteopathy. And as you can maybe hear, today I'm in a very good mood because finally I can record the episode of How to Heal the Inner Child. This episode has been requested for so long, and this week it just wanted to flow out my body. And here we are, it's my little Easter egg for you. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of this topic, first we need to point out that I'm not a psychologist and I approach this topic from the perspective of what I am, an osteopath, someone who works with the body, the mind and the soul via physical touch. I don't claim that the way that I explain this topic is the complete way or the one and only way. I rather want to give an easy introduction into the topic because, to be honest, I myself found it very confusing for a long time. And we will also dive into how the inner child can be connected to chronic pain and how doing the emotional work can actually help patients who suffer from chronic pain, which I know is relevant for many of my patients and maybe also for you if you're listening to this. I want to try something new today because this podcast episode can be used as an interactive process, meaning that I will give you some cues and some exercises while we go through the episode. And it could be really helpful to pause this episode, grab a journal or something to write, because I will encourage you to take a little break once in a while and write stuff down. And of course, you don't have to do that. You can just listen to this episode like to any other episode as well. And all of the exercises that I give are optional, but it could be an interesting thing to try. So if you didn't do that yet, pause the episode and go grab something to write. Please don't write on your laptop. Write in a journal or on a piece of paper with a normal pen. And this episode gets a little trigger warning because it could happen that the questions and exercises that I ask trigger some memories or some emotions in you. And if that happens, please remember, emotions are normal and part of life. They can be painful to feel, but they won't kill you. They just want to be felt and expressed, and then they will pass. So if that happens to you, maybe you will feel the need to cry, just let the tears flow. Don't hold them back. Give the emotion space, let it flow through you, allow yourself to experience it, and then, when you're done with it, let it pass. I repeat, feeling your emotions won't kill you, they pass. And experiencing emotion is the most human thing that you can do. We all break down and cry sometimes, or we burst out into anger. In case that happens to you, remind yourself that you're an adult now. You're not a helpless child anymore. Instead, you are in a safe space and you can hold and protect yourself now. You're not small, and for that reason, I recommend listening to this episode when you are at home. Maybe find a comfortable place where you feel safe. Maybe snuggle up in a bed or on the couch under a comfortable blanket, or lay down on the floor with a yoga mat or a carpet below you. Maybe don't listen to this episode when you're outside running errands or when you're on the way, at least not for the first time. And lastly, I want to point out that you should not listen to this if you feel emotionally unstable. As I said, the discussed topic today could trigger some big emotions, and this can be very great and relieving when you're in a stable emotional space. But if you currently struggle with your mental health, it might not be the best idea to destabilize yourself even more. So if you listen to this and want to do the exercises, please be mindful and responsible with yourself. You are a grown adult and you are responsible for what you consume and what you protect yourself of. So this is my official trigger warning for this episode. I give all responsibility to you now. So first of all, let's look at where the term the inner child comes from. The concept of the inner child is an idea used in psychology and psychotherapy. There's multiple books who popularized the concept, and as I understand, it really took off in the 90s. In Germany, we have a very popular book by Stephanie Stahl called Das Kind in dir muss Heimat finden, which translates to The Child in You Needs to Find Home. And I believe she was the one who really popularized this concept in Germany in the 2010s. If you're a listener from Germany, chances are that you might have read the book because it's been a bestseller for now so many years. I personally didn't really like the book too much. I found it a little superficial and not really written for adults. But maybe that's because I'm a therapist myself and I'm used to a different type of literature. Anyways, I personally was a little disappointed when I read this, so I don't really recommend it. It is important to note that the inner child is not a scientific term. It's rather an idea, a concept used in psychotherapy and to communicate psychological concepts to non-professionals in order to explain things in an easy way. If you spend some time on YouTube or Instagram, I'm sure that you have come across this concept or the term the inner child before. It's very popular online and it's used a lot by content creators and lifestyle influencers, which I don't think is problematic since the idea behind it is to translate and explain psychoanalytical and psychodynamic concepts in a way that is easy to understand. It's also important to note that there's not the one way of inner child healing or working with the inner child, or the one way of understanding and explaining this idea, because it's not a fixed concept or term. And that's also why we're gonna talk about it today. And to be frank, I myself struggled with this concept for many years. I don't know when I first heard about the idea, probably around maybe 2016. I remember that my good friend was reading the mentioned book by Stephanie Stahl, but I didn't really get into this for a long time because I didn't like the idea that there was a child living inside of me. At this point, I have made peace with the terminology, but if you struggle with the wording of the inner child, then you could also use the words inner parts or innere Anteile in German, because it's kind of the same thing. For this episode, I will stick with the wording inner child, though, simply because it's the most popular one and it's very placative. So the basis of the inner child concept is that the experiences that we have as children are saved in our brain, and of course I would add also in the body, but that is my addition, and that these experiences shape us as humans. That means that our childhood experiences don't just disappear when we grow up, but they are still relevant for our adult feelings and behavior. Usually the term inner child is used in context of bad childhood experiences, and that is also what we will focus on today, but I want to mention that it can be also used in a positive way in order to reconnect to positive feelings and experiences from childhood, to use these as resources. For example, when your mother used to bake a special apple pie on Sundays and you connect to the smell of this pie in the oven and the taste of eating it with a warm, fuzzy feeling of family time and feeling happy and protected, then you could bake your own pie in order to reconnect to that feeling. This is a great idea if you're looking into something that relaxes you, for example. I myself have a childhood memory of playing Lego with my younger sister in the mornings on weekends while listening to audiobooks and my mom sleeping next to us in my sister's bed. And these mornings were so cozy, so relaxed that sometimes I still like to listen to these exact audiobooks to remind myself of that feeling. But usually the term inner child or inner child healing refers to bad childhood experiences. Remember, in this theory, our childhood experiences still influence how we think, feel, and behave as adults. Now, if you look at someone who experienced a lot of pain, frustration, sadness, loneliness, helplessness, and abandonment in childhood, it is understandable that the adult self does not want to reconnect to these traumatizing experiences and therefore cuts itself off from these feelings that are still somehow alive in them. The adult might feel like something is inherently wrong with them, that they are less worthy than others, not worthy of love, and maybe often experience feelings of guilt and shame. And this is where I invite you for the first exercise. Maybe you could do a little checkup with yourself. Do you feel like this on the inside? Do you feel like there's something inherently wrong with you? Or that you're not worthy of love or less than others? Do you experience feelings of guilt and shame? If so, it might be interesting to take a little break now. Maybe you want to grab a journal and write things down. If not, that is also okay, you can just leave it. Maybe these words do something to you, maybe they make you feel agitated or just make you feel unwell. Maybe you feel seen or understood. Let all that be. You don't need to do anything with these feelings now. The only thing that I ask you to do is to simply notice what comes up. People who carry a lot of these painful childhood experiences also tend to project them on other people in their day-to-day life. For example, they might live in constant fear of being abandoned by their partners or friends, or that they might be rejected or excluded from a group, because this feeling of being less than or unworthy is expected to be also perceived by others. This can manifest in beliefs like, if they get to know me better, they will find out how shitty I am. or in the idea that one needs to overperform in order to be liked. This is where people-pleasing behavior comes in, for example. I'm only loved if I act the way that you want me to be. Sometimes this can also mean that people who have been very hurt in childhood struggle to carry out conflicts because every criticism or disagreement evokes the fear of being punished, belittled, or abandoned. If you want to, this could be another opportunity to grab your notebook and explore the question, how did my parents treat me when I did something wrong? And it doesn't have to be parents. It can also be teachers or other family members, like older siblings, your aunts and uncles. Once again, anything that opens up here, feelings, tears, memories, just let them flow. You don't need to do anything with that. You don't need to find a solution. You're safe now. If you're laying in your bed or the floor, as I recommended at the beginning, notice how the floor or the bed carry your weight. You are carried, supported. You're safe now. It is also very typical that someone who still carries a lot of wounds from childhood inside them might have a lot of resistance to topics like these. And maybe you're feeling this right now, a feeling of, this has nothing to do with me, or maybe you are slightly annoyed or even aggressive. Maybe you hate the fact that me, who is not a psychologist, speaks about a topic like this. Or maybe you get really tired and bored and struggle to listen to what I'm even saying. Resistance is the protection mechanism of our psyche in order to run away and not confront ourselves with our wounds, because it's simply too painful to feel them. This can show up in multiple different forms. The entire topic of resistance is really interesting, to be honest. I want to dive into a few symptoms of resistance briefly, because I do think that this might resonate with some of you. Resistance against the inner child, our inner wounds, therapy, or even just topics that go into that direction is a protection mechanism of our psyche, as I said, because we're too scared of what might come up. In short, we do anything to run away from the painful feelings that we might have experienced as children, because they feel so overwhelming to us that we don't want to fall back into feeling this helpless and alone again. I know, for example, that I felt quite lonely as a child and teenager when I grew up. So as a young adult, I did anything in order to be busy and popular. And so I became a party girl that was always invited somewhere. But this deep feeling of loneliness, of course, didn't went away. I always carried it inside me. I just tried to run away from it on the outside. I feel like the most blunt form of resistance is very common in men. Do you know this kind of men who are absolutely cut off from the inside, as if they had zero connection with themselves? This does not only apply to men, of course, but I find it quite common. I also feel like this hypermasculinity trend that is growing online since a couple of years is exactly that. Focus on sex, the gym, and financial success in order to forget that you're a human being with feelings and weaknesses as everyone else. Resistance can also show up in hyper-independence, never asking anyone for help and always wanting to figure out everything alone. Does that sound familiar to you? If so, grab your notebook. Hyperindependence and the effort to not appear weak appears in both men and women. And I definitely also know that from myself. But instead of proving how strong and capable we are, we're often actually trying to protect ourselves from the feeling of being let down or disappointed. If I don't ask for help, nobody can abandon me, and therefore I won't feel as helpless as I did in childhood. Of course, by that we're actually robbing ourselves from a new experience, for example, depending on someone else, and therefore the feeling of being all alone in the world persists inside us. It's kind of funny. Our resistance should protect us from re-feeling these pains from our childhood, but by giving into our resistance and running away from our pain, we actually keep these feelings inside us alive, and therefore our hurt inner child still controls our behavior today. In a way, we treasure our pain as if it's something so precious that it shouldn't be touched. I think that is why therapists can get very impatient at some point, and where sentences like, seems like you don't want to really get better, come from. As a therapist and also a human being at the same time, I can see both sides. I understand that sometimes therapists feel helpless because it seems like the patients don't make any progress because they never want to touch the real issues. But at the same time, it is important to understand that if we have such strong resistance, it means that the inner pain feels too overwhelming. It is never laziness that stops anyone from going there. It is pure fear and feeling of not being able to survive the pain. I really try to keep that in mind during my treatments when patients don't seem to show any progress due to their resistance. It really can be very frustrating as a therapist, but it's important to stay patient here. Resistance can also show up as overthinking, and I know that this is very common when your brain is constantly working and you can't seem to get it to shut up, and you overthink even the smallest interactions in your life. Maybe you even fall into excess worrying that robs you of your sleep, and all the time your head is going in circles without ever finding a solution, because it is never about the solution. Overthinking usually means underfeeling. A lot of people tend to rationalize their feelings and only seem to live in their head. Once again, if this is you, pause and grab your journal. Maybe this is a behavior that you learned as a child in order to keep you safe, because your parents were overwhelmed when you'd show big emotions. Or maybe you were ridiculed when you showed any weakness or cried. Or you simply were praised for how smart and reasonable you were beyond your age. This kind of underfeeling can finally manifest in a form of resistance that is very common in my practice, because this is where the body comes in. If we learn to suppress our pain at a very young age, or the pain we feel is simply too big to handle for us, in other words, if our inner child gets extremely hurt, it can manifest as chronic pain, a pain for which doctors don't have a solution, that persists for years and gets only worse over time. A pain that is very diffuse, that varies and can rob you of your entire life quality. This is a symptom that patients come to my practice with. And together we work on what this chronic pain actually is. Of course it is a physical pain. The pain is not made up. But the cause of the pain is not physical in these cases. The pain is emotional pain that manifests in the physical body, because physical pain seems more tolerable than the actual emotional pain. These kind of treatments often take a long time because they are very delicate and require a strong trust relationship between patient and therapist. These treatments have the biggest potential for wonderful transformations, though, if the patient actually allows themselves to get into this. In these cases, resistance can be very strong. And again, as a therapist, that can be very frustrating, because sometimes it feels like the patients actually want to hold on to the pain. But the reality is that first of all, the patients are really scared. And secondly, very often these people have absolutely no connection to their own body. All they feel is pain, but other than that, they're completely cut off. Once again, if you feel seen here, take a break and grab your journal. And these patients are the reason why I'm making this episode in the first place. Because I'm not a psychologist who works with the inner child, but these concepts are very relevant in my work, and I believe that it is only beneficial to explain it in easy words for everyone to understand. One day, I will make a dedicated episode about chronic pain and fibromyalgia. It is a topic highly requested as well, but let's get back to the inner child for today. So as I said in the beginning, I myself had some resistance against the term inner child because I didn't like the idea of a child living inside me, and that shows how common and natural resistance is. If we translate this, it means that I didn't want to feel small and helpless. I didn't want to be childish, and I didn't want to remember the way I felt as a child. It is important to understand the benefit of resistance instead of hating and torturing ourselves for that. Resistance lets us function in our day-to-day life, but noticing the way we resist our own pains is relevant, and that is why I went into so much detail here. So what do we do with this inner child now? How can we actually heal the wounds from our childhood in order to live a free and happy life? Well, that's where the work comes in. And I think the first step is understanding the concept, hence why I'm making this episode, and accepting that wounds from our childhood can still be prevalent today in our adult selves. This step sounds easy, but very often it is not. Just this step can take a long time. And this is where resistance comes in again, because we don't want to feel hurt or broken. We don't want to see ourselves as that. We want to function and we want to be productive members of society. We want to be successful. We don't want to be a weak child. But acceptance is the very first and unskippable step here. And if you're currently struggling with that and you feel some resistance, that's okay. Give yourself time. Healing the inner child is a process that takes years. Just imagine how long you have been walking around with these wounds already. they won't heal in 1 week and probably not in 1 year. In order to work with the inner child, it is also important to get in touch with ourselves, to connect. There's different ways in how to do that. I personally like to use the body, but writing can also be a very powerful tool, and that's why we are using the journal for this episode. Talking to someone, maybe even a therapist, of course can also be a good way. Probably it's the best way. As we saw, a wounded inner child can create quite powerful resistance mechanisms, and it might even go so far that you will have lost total connection to yourself. I know patients who dissociate multiple times per day, some even faint for no other reason than being overwhelmed by their feelings. When you're so used to cutting yourself off from your body and your emotions, reconnecting can be very difficult at first, but it is necessary in order to figure out what your wounds are and how to work with them. Usually by starting to reconnect to yourself and your body, things start to open up. We have sudden realizations, maybe memories come up, or we suddenly feel something that might have been hidden before. And this can give us some ideas of what our wounds might be. And once we identify these wounds or our resistance mechanisms, we can start to make changes in our daily life. I can give an example that happened to me quite recently. As I have already shared a couple of times on this podcast, I come from a very big, lively family. But I'm an introverted person who needs to have enough alone time in order to recharge her batteries. In my family, this is strange. So I grew up in a way where this need was simply never met. Therefore, I developed a huge shame around that, and I used to feel super selfish for wanting to spend time alone. I thought that taking time for myself was bad and that instead I should be doing something productive for the community. I didn't understand that these were simply the preferences of my family and that it said nothing about my self-worth. So I got really used to constantly overstep my own boundaries and force myself to do stuff that I didn't really want to do instead of recharging my social batteries. Once I identified that wound of not being seen in my needs and also identified my resistance, which was shame about being selfish and lazy, I could now start to make different choices instead of burning myself to the ground. So recently I had tickets to a salsa festival that went on for 3 days over the weekend. I was not really in the mood, and also physically I was really tired because I was super sore from my workouts before. So physically as well as mentally, I was tired. I went there on Friday and I realized that I simply didn't want to be there. So I just stayed home the other 2 days. Although I had paid 100 euros for the tickets, although my boyfriend went, and although there was many people from my dancing school who would have been happy to see me, I chose myself over the money, over my boyfriend who would have liked to dance with me, and over other people's expectations. And instead, I spent the weekend alone in a very calm way, recovering my tired body and recharging my soul for the upcoming week. Now, this was not the first time that I chose myself over the expectations of others. I was already a little bit practiced in that. But once you do that for the first time, it can feel quite stressful because you think that you're a bad person and that everyone hates you. But since I was already a little practiced at that, it just felt really peaceful and healing this time. And this is what healing the inner child means. Identifying feelings and behaviors that stem from wounds in our childhood. In my case, feeling like I'm an alien in my family because I have different needs, and feeling alone, shameful, and evil because I was not seen. Each time we identify these patterns, we have the choice to act differently, to respect ourselves, and to act in a way that actually serves us and feels authentic to us. This, of course, requires acceptance and also a connection to oneself first. Hence why I mentioned these before. And I promise you, this takes a lot of practice. The first couple of times you try to change your behavior is really difficult. And it is also okay to fail sometimes. It is a step-by-step process where every baby step counts. It is really something that should be done over multiple years. I know that some people also like to use meditation or visualization techniques in order to imagine themselves as children in these painful moments. Some people imagine that they give themselves a hug or that they step in for their child self in order to help them. Some people even speak to their inner children and tell them things like, "I'm sorry that this happened to you, you're safe now." There's many different ways of working with the inner child, and none of them is the one right way. For me personally, Visualization is rather difficult, but in this case, it can be quite powerful to actually look at childhood pictures of yourself. Look at yourself when you were small and just see what comes up when you do that. Once again, everything that might come up is okay. Please just let it flow instead of pushing it down. Working with the inner child requires developing empathy for oneself. And this might be an absolutely new concept to you. I know a lot of people who are the most loving and empathetic to others, but ruthless and cold to themselves. Once again, if that is you, you know what to do here. Grab your journal and write things down. In the end, working with the inner child is emotional work. And this can't be done in the head. Theory is very limited here. It all has to be done with a full body. This includes crying, breaking down, getting angry. You don't only have to feel your emotions, you actually have to express them in order to process them. And then it requires real actions in your day-to-day life. Real behavior change. Because someone who carries a wounded child inside them most likely doesn't treat themselves very well. I don't know how possible it is to do all that alone. I guess my recommendation would be to find a therapist to accompany you on that journey. On the other hand, I know that therapy is simply not accessible to everyone. If you feel that way, please just do me the favor and check in with yourself whether therapy is really not accessible for you, and that can absolutely be the case, or whether it's a resistance, like not wanting to ask for help or wanting to figure it out on your own or not seeing yourself as worthy enough to spend money on yourself or using up someone's time. In general, I'd say yes. Our childhood wounds can be healed. It's not an easy or short process though. It takes years. Just think about how old you are today and how many years you have been living with your pain. You can't carry all this for so long and then expect to be done with healing in 1 year. And I don't know if we can ever be fully done, but that's not the point. It is about what we learn and what we experience during the process of healing. It is definitely possible to find a way to a happy, joyful, and satisfying life, though. And that should be the goal. But the question here, and that is my last journaling question for you today, is how much do you allow yourself to be happy? How much do you allow yourself to have an easy life? How much do you allow yourself to enjoy? And why not? And lastly, what are you willing to give? Because the concept of working with the inner child means that in order to free ourselves from our physical and emotional pain, first we have to go through the hidden pain that we carry with us for so long. And this is a conscious decision. In a way, it carries the question, am I worth it to myself to fight for a better life? And I want to paraphrase that into German for my German listeners. Bin ich es mir selbst wert, für ein schönes Leben zu kämpfen? And I do not mean fighting on the outside. It's not about going to the gym, seducing men or women, or building a million-dollar business. It is about fighting your demons, your pain, the feeling of helplessness, of being abandoned, of being worthless and useless. Are you brave enough to go through these feelings in order to free yourself? It is a choice. It is your life. And everyone has the right to run away from their pain also. You're allowed to choose not to work on yourself and continue carry your pain inside you. The thing is, there is not really another way around that. It's either a yes or a no. You can't grind yourself to happiness. All the financial success, the perfect body, the Instagram followers, or the body count won't alleviate the pain you feel. It will most likely increase it. The only way to free yourself from pain is to go through it. And that requires a lot of courage, patience, and empathy for yourself. And the very first thing you need to do is to take a decision. Do I want to fight for myself or not? Because you're the only one who's responsible for your life. I'm not responsible for my patient's life. I'm not responsible for your life. I'm there to accompany my patients on their way. But I can only help as much as they allow themselves to heal. This was my take on the topic of the inner child. I know it might be a lot. I don't know how you're feeling right now. This is your sign to check in with yourself. I'm feeling quite exhausted after this episode because we went really deep. But I think I have said everything I wanted to say. So let me know what you think and feel about this. You can always text me on Instagram at paula.klischewicz. All my contact info is linked down below as always. I love you guys. I wish you all the best. And for those celebrating Easter, happy Easter.